Thanks, worship team, for leading as you did. Wow, that was fantastic. It'll fit very nicely into where we're going this morning. Let me just begin. There are times for large group gatherings, and there are times for small group gatherings. And throughout time, God has worked in and through both. For example, there was a time when God intervened on behalf of Israel to rescue the Israelites from Egypt. This incredible story, as many of you may know, is told in the book of Exodus, which when translated literally means the great exit. God worked with Moses and in Moses and through Moses via all kinds of miraculous signs that would point to God. To a point when Pharaoh grudgingly gave Moses and Aaron permission to leave. And I'm quoting now from Exodus 12. "Up," he said, "leave my people. You and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and just go." And so about 600,000 men on foot and women and children made their way out of Egypt and into freedom. It's a large group. They consecrated their firstborns to the Lord. They crossed the Red Sea. They fed on manna from heaven. And things deteriorated, actually, from there. They complained about God. They complained about each other, but they mostly complained to their leader, Moses. So hearing of these complaints and all that Moses was holding, his father-in-law, a man named Jethro, challenged Moses to form what? Small groups. The work of leading such a massive group of people was way too much for one man. So Jethro gave Moses this advice, which I'm now reading directly from Exodus chapter 18. "Select some capable men from all of the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can handle themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you." Hello. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So, there's a large group managed by smaller groups to share the load of leading each other. That's interesting. There was a time when crowds followed Jesus everywhere, sometimes numbering in the thousands. Such was the case when he sat down on a mountainside and taught a multitude of people what we would call the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus ministered to crowds of 5,000 or more at different times, but he probably spent more time with who? His small group of 12 than with all of the rest of the people he met combined. It's not an either or, it's an and both, I think. So some compare a healthy church to a two-winged bird. So one wing would be large, celebrative worship services that include what we've done this morning, singing and praying and some teaching, which tend to emphasize these kinds of gatherings, what we would call the transcendence, the greatness, the mystery of God, like we've been singing about, like we've been talking about. And small groups would be perhaps that other wing that include challenging and encouraging one another in the name of Jesus Christ, which tends to, in smaller groups, emphasize the immanence, if we're using the big word over there, transcend immanence, which would mean the friendship or the nearness of God as we would practice it with each other. I found it helpful as I was thinking this through to think of it this way. Large groups for big God thoughts, small groups for Jesus-like practices. We're encouraged in both ways, actually, by the writer of the book of Hebrews, who says, let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us worship our Lord together as a whole community of faith, and let us meet in smaller groups to challenge and to encourage one another until Jesus returns. Let's not give up meeting together. The Greek word here translated give up is the same word for desertion or abandonment. So to rephrase it, let's not desert or abandon meeting together. Which is saying something in this day and age, isn't it? We live in a secular country, in a secular province, in a secular city. That's not a condemnation, it's just the way it is. And we are sheep. We are easily led astray from our faith and life in Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. He has given us, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. For this reason, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. But he also gave us each other, so that being built up, we would build each other up. He's given us some who would lead us in a large group of 12 or more people for the purpose of worship and teaching and mission to be built up. And he's given us one another to meet in small groups of 3 to 12 people on a regular basis for the purposes of spiritual growth and support, to act like Jesus, to do the one another practices of all the one another's we find in the Bible. One another's like, love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, carry each other's burdens, bear with one another, confess your sins to each other, and forgive one another. These one another's are nigh impossible to do on a Sunday morning when we are staring at the back of each other's heads. Though there are many one another's that we can, and we do accomplish, actually, on any given Sunday morning. For instance, accept one another, serve one another, instruct one another, wait for one another, which actually specifically applies to taking communion together, but for us might also apply to, let's wait for one another from 10:30 till around 10:40. Speak psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to one another, and greet one another with a holy kiss, which I'm not seeing enough of in this congregation, so maybe we can work on that. Let us not... Did I hear something cringy over here? Okay. Let us not give up meeting together. In a secular world, this, right now, is a revolutionary act. Being here this morning is very countercultural. In our busy lives, when we work all week and then sometimes on the weekends, we are saying no to a great many things to say yes to being here, to being among a people of faith and life in Jesus Christ, to being a people who need to be challenged in our journey of faith with Jesus, because it is easy to be led astray by this world, infinitely easy. To being a people who need to be encouraged in their journey of faith with Jesus Christ, because the world is set against living that way. As I've said before, I need to meet for worship every week with you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, because it sets me back on right paths, and it sets me up for the week to come, even as it did during the time of singing this morning. To think that there is only one that was ever worthy and whoever would be worthy to unlock the plan for all of us. It's an extraordinary reset. Never mind the microphones. It's an extraordinary reset for us. That God adores you and me. It is revolutionary that we are here because it's countercultural, but it is also extraordinary to be here to worship with you because we don't worship a God who is ordinary, who is, when I use the word ordinary, there's that word order embedded in it, who is of common ability, quality, or rank. There is no rank order with God. He isn't just number one, he is the only one. And because we don't worship God alone, so we worship someone who's extraordinary, singular, the only one, but we also don't worship him alone. We are one church of several in our city, representing thousands of believers in Jesus Christ, in a province with hundreds more churches, in a country with thousands more churches, in a world of countries with several million churches, representing more than 2 billion people on the planet who meet every week to worship our one and only God. There has been and there will never be, ever, anyone who draws this kind of attention. Jesus said that he would draw all men to himself when he was lifted up. And so he has. He has been the center of attention for more than 2,000 years. We worship an extraordinary God in an extraordinary way. But as good as this is, as good as it is to worship God together on Sunday morning, it is critical for our spiritual growth that we mix and match this time the experience of the mystery of God with smaller group times to experience the nearness of God. We need to be in small groups of different kinds to connect intentionally, face-to-face, to hear each other so that we can challenge and encourage each other personally. And I am borrowing that from Corey, actually, who summarized what small groups can accomplish. We need to challenge and encourage each other. So what does that look like? What might that look like? Well, it looks like Kids Zone, where our kids just went, which is a time for our children to meet with each other for a big group time and then a smaller group time of application. It looks like youth small group for our youth, a follow-up night from a large group teaching time where youth can explore a topic more deeply and pray for one another. It looks like young adult small group on Mondays who meet for Bible study and prayer and periodic forays of missional outreach. Last fall, they plumbed the depths of 1 Peter. They did a book study of 1 Peter. This winter, spring, they're doing something a little bit different, which I think actually is really cool. They are doing a series of topical Bible studies, one per month, as you heard Doug mention earlier in our announcements. Topics as determined by them as a group, because at Teachers College, we would have said to each other, the best curriculum to teach is the question that they are asking, so teach that. So they are talking about those things that are on their minds, and they are finding challenging ways of working through that in their spiritual journey. But that's not even the cool part. It's the way they are doing it, in my opinion. They meet week one to explore the topic together, to ask open-ended and vulnerable questions in separate groups of men and women. Then they, instead of just making the teachers be the mouthpiece that dispenses information, They are called to research. They're given places to go to do that research, to begin to answer their own questions, questions that are personal to them. So it's a group responsibility. It isn't just the leader dispensing counsel, right? Then they come together as men and women, so they come back and report on those answers. Then they come back as they are doing this coming Monday, tomorrow, to report in the larger group. It's brilliant, actually. It also looks like a mom's small group that we have here. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Jackie, I saw you there, Jack, good, to come up, so be ready for that. That meets, it was meeting on Wednesday mornings, but they've moved into Thursday mornings, and they follow the course of Sunday morning teachings, basically, as moms, and they pray together and for each other. They trade, I'm sure, mom wisdom and care for each other in practical ways. So Jackie is here, if you wouldn't mind coming. You know what? Can I get that handheld mic for her? That'd be fantastic. And Jack, do you want to grab that from Christine, please? So if you'd welcome Jackie Jurczak forward, whose name I have spelt wrong here in my notes. Sorry, Jackie.
Okay, no one can see it.
Yeah, perfect. I just pointed it out, though.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi. My words don't come out smoothly, so it's nicer if I write it all out and then can just read. So me and Desiree decided to start Mom's Group this year because there wasn't one at this point. There was before, previous years. So Desiree is more organized than I am, and she did a little blurb first and emailed it to me. So I'll read hers, and then I added some more at the end. So she just said, I started this group with a desire to connect with more women of our church in a way that was Jesus-focused. This group has come to be a wonderful place to discuss the sermon topic, get back into memorizing Bible verses, find godly accountability among friends, and give and receive prayer. I have been pleasantly surprised at the many deep spiritual conversations we have had among the chaos of our children. I have had my views challenged and hopefully challenged others to read the Bible and spend time praying. This type of intentional connection with other church moms has also given me many familiar smiling faces on Sunday morning, making what was recently a new church home to me feel like home. Me, on the other hand, I've been at Crossroads for 15 years and have been part of lots of different groups. Christy. Not sure about youth, but at least young adults and adult groups and such. So there are many familiar faces to me, as many new ones. I work shift work and only work every other weekend, so come to church when I can. Crossroads feels like home to me, but I find Sunday mornings busy, especially with little kids. I've got a 5'3", 1-year-old and one due in August. And
what?
We rush to church and rush home for lunch and naps. Not a lot of time to talk with other church members and get to know them. Mm. On occasion, when I do have time to talk, it generally ends up being very superficial and sometimes a little awkward. Hello, how are you? Nice weather, hey, or nice snow. I really enjoy having another day in the week to intentionally talk and pray with other believers from my church to get to know them deeper. It gives me more time, gives me more things to talk about with them the next Sunday comes up. I also enjoy serving, and we've been able to set up a couple meal trains for our new moms. Thank you to anyone that was able to contribute to these. I'm presuming it was a blessing to these families, as I've always really enjoyed receiving meals and have always felt really loved when people that I know and don't know have brought me meals. Mm-hmm. Before having kids, just a little side note, I didn't really make meals because I felt too stressed that I had to make a big meal and make it amazing for people. But after receiving meals, I know that anything is super appreciated. And if any of you felt a little nervous about not knowing what to make, any soup or casserole or anything is really valued. So be encouraged to do it in the future. Mom's group has also been great for reviewing teachings from Sunday mornings. Sometimes I'm not here, so it's nice to talk about them, and sometimes it's just nice to review and talk with Christians, other Christians, answer each other's questions and just discuss what they think about the things. Life is busy, and sometimes it can be hard to commit to another thing, but I've always found small groups super helpful for me, really enjoyed them. And now Mom's Group to be well worth my time. I strongly encourage anyone looking to get more out of church or relationships in church or their walk with Jesus to try one of the groups offered at Crossroads, because there are a few.
Right on. So before you go, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
So you meet on Thursday mornings? What time?
Thursday mornings, 9 till 11.
Okay, and where?
Morning, usually at my house, sometimes at Desiree's. We can give addresses to anyone that's in need.
That information is in your bulletin, including their contact information. So is there snacks,
stuff like that? Yeah, I usually have something there.
Okay, and what do you do with the kids?
The kids just play and run around. I've got lots of toys. I got four kids. Right now, with the snow, we've mostly been inside. Yep. But hopefully, as the sun comes out, then we can go outside and play. And maybe we have some chickens, so that's kind of fun. They can go and collect
eggs. Awesome.
And we hope to hatch some chicks this year. So.
Fantastic. That's great. Thanks so much, Jack.
You're welcome. I guess
you can take that. No, thanks, buddy. And then, of course, it looks like men's and women's ministries, as, again, Doug mentioned earlier, for men and women. What we call M13 and W24M13, men first and third weeks, W24 women second and fourth, because our men meet then and our women meet then as a rule. Our ladies have led each other in topical reflections over the course of the year so far, had a recent craft night thwarted by the weather, but not deterred by that, came back strong yesterday morning, and double dip with a pajama and pancakes party, and that's what I heard. And a pretty sweet craft, no pun intended, because it had candy in it. But that was good. Good job. Thanks, Sam. Do I dare even ask for a testimony on that, or did you want to say something about that? Okay, no, it's good. Our men have met socially once a month and then otherwise once a month to study the Bible, pray, or something like that. Though on one occasion, very recently, we did both. It will be one of the most memorable nights of ministry in my entire time here at Crossroads, actually. We loaded into a van, all five of us. We made our way across the border to Burlington, Washington for some pizza. Not just ordinary pizza, though, my friends. Mod pizza. And since we're on topic, it would rank number one for me. We exchanged pleasantries in the van until we got to the border, where our border guard was rather incredulous that when we told him that we were going to Burlington for pizza. It's not just any pizza, though, I explained. It's mod pizza, you know, made on demand pizza. Sort of like Subway meets pizza. Oh, yeah, he responded, that's great pizza. But why all the way to Burlington, he asked. There's actually one in Bellingham. To which I replied, oh, yes, there is, my friend. But it's closed for renovations. They're upgrading their brick oven with a second flame source to cook the pizzas even more quickly and more thoroughly. To which he said nothing, because the look on his face kind of said it all, which was, how and maybe why does this guy know that kind of stuff? He sent us on our way to enjoy our pizza, and we did, but not before the more enriching experience of hearing each other's stories of faith, how we came to faith, who helped us along the way, and what difference faith has made in our lives. We didn't even get through all of our stories by the time we got to Mod, which is a 90-minute journey from the border, or 60 anyway. So we continued our storytelling time on the way back and ended our night in prayer, which didn't even end when we pulled up to the church office. We just kept praying. And just for those who are safety conscious amongst us, our driver had his eyes open all the way home during our prayer time, because I know that would concern you. Even more recently, however, we, the men, explored the story of David and Goliath. We watched a TED Talk, actually, by Malcolm Gladwell called The Unheard of Story of David and Goliath, which I'd recommend to you. It offered offers a unique scientific explanation of events, which I will, if you want to plug your ears for a second, this will spoil it slightly for you, which challenges our common understanding that David was the underdog. Then we dove right into the text of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We treated it like a Lectio Divina, which we had talked about previously that Sunday. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to guide us into an encounter with God. We read the chapter out loud together, pausing here and there. We talked about the text, how Gladwell's understanding and ours intersected, and what themes or words spoke to us as we read, what we would have highlighted. And then we prayed for the Holy Spirit to help us to make some kind of application. This is Lectio. This is divine reading. It was an extremely rich experience for me. Extremely rich because I wasn't the only teacher in the room. Which, when you're the pastor and there's a chance to share that load, is a gift. I learned much about and from my brothers in Christ that night. It's a great way to lead a Bible study, to read and do it together. But I'd like this teaching to be more than just announcements about our small groups, or even an encouragement, as Jackie has invited us to do, to join one. Though I would say this, without shame, we have excellent small group opportunities for every age at Crossroads, and we'd all be the better in our spiritual walk and growth relating to our relationship with Christ if we would take part in one. That's just the way it is. This said, let me just encourage you to be a part of a Christ-centered small group of some sort where you can be challenged and encouraged in your faith. It might be even outside of Crossroads, and that's okay. Crossroads is not and it cannot be all things to all people. There are a pile of great discipleship opportunities within our city otherwise. Like, for instance, the Alpha Series, as hosted by our friend Nick Westering of West Bow Construction this past fall, which a number of you participated in. I think it was mostly because of the flights of beer that were offered at that particular Alpha, but that's fun. That's good. By the way, this is so Crossroads. We were the only church. He sent that invitation out to all the churches of the ministerial. We were the only church that responded and were represented at Alpha, where there was flights of beer being drunk. Okay. It's great. God bless us. And like the freedom sessions, like if there are strongholds in your life that you're hoping to break, freedom sessions, fantastic sort of program, regularly sponsored by, led by, hosted by a number of our churches locally, but Southside does a really good job of that, so there's another one. We make these opportunities known as we know them, as they come to us, because we believe in the power of small groups, and we believe, actually, in the kingdom of God, right? So it can happen here, but it can also happen wherever, and that's what we'd encourage. And it might be, let me say this, it might be a small group of friends that you already keep, right? Friends who you could challenge to making your regular get-togethers at Tim Hortons for coffee, talking about the Canucks, which I don't know why you'd do that, maybe a bit more intentional around discipleship. So what might that look like? Well, not any more than what we've said so far. It's a small group of men or women who would be willing to challenge you and to encourage you in your faith. So what does that mean? Well, as it relates to challenging one another, it can mean this. To challenge each other to do some things and to challenge each other to stop doing some things. The Bible says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But, and you can only do this in small groups, because it's we can show up on Sunday and fake it pretty incredibly well. But encourage each other. Challenge one another daily so that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. If a friend expresses an interest in praying more, challenge him to start praying more. Ask questions like, when might work best for you to pray? Where would be the least amount of distraction for you to pray? Will you journal your prayer life so that in a year of praying and journaling your prayer life, you can look back and go, wow, what an extraordinary God. Would you want to pray on your own, or would you like to meet with me or someone else you know once a week or so and pray specifically? If a friend says to you that she'd like to read the Bible more, challenge her to start reading the Bible more. Ask her questions like, what book of the Bible do you want to read? Do you want to read a paper copy or do you want to read a digital copy? Do you want to read with commentaries or a devotional or on your own? Would you like to join me on my Bible app in a themed reading? And then ask them this, when will you start? And when they don't give you a date, I'm going to help you with a date. And then phone them up because you've asked their permission to say, I know this is important to you. Can I follow it up with a phone call in a week to ask you how that's going? If a friend shares that he'd like to give more, these are all based on the themes we've talked about in our series so far, these examples, challenge him to what? Start giving more. Ask him questions like, were you aware that I am personally a registered nonprofit? That's actually a joke. Just kidding. Questions like, why do you want to give more? What is driving this? How much would you like to give? What or who do you want to give to? What's your plan? Those kinds of questions. And ask friends if it's all right for you to follow up on all of these things, right? Get that permission. And then if a friend regularly berates and belittles herself, challenge her to stop doing that. As her friend, you will not tolerate anyone talking about her that way, not even herself. Ask her questions like, why do you do that to yourself? What hurts or destructive words have you let define you? What would Jesus say about these things? How does he see you? And then tell her how Jesus sees her. Give her some truth about who she is. If a friend is locked in a porn habit, challenge him to stop doing that. Be empathetic. Sympathize with the struggle. But don't leave it at, well, we all struggle with some kind of addiction. Because as true as that is, I hope we want more of ourselves for each other than letting that be our lot. Let's find the space between being a legalistic jerk and a liberal pinhead. Can we do that? Ask questions like, does your wife know? Does your husband know? Can you engage her in this battle against porn? If not her, then who? What strategies have you employed so far to beat this? Have you sought any counseling? Would you be willing to let me know when you are tempted? Because you know there are triggers. There are times you are tired, you are lonely, you're fatigued, you're upset, your relationship isn't going well. Like whatever it is. Would you call me as your friend when you hit those times? So that I can pray for you or meet you to provide you with a positive distraction. Something like Mod Pizza. It's perfect. And then as it relates to encouraging one another, it can mean this, to encourage them practically and spiritually. So again, back to the Bible, all the believers, Paul says, or rather Luke says in Acts chapter 2, all the believers were together and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as needed. And then otherwise, Paul says in Galatians, let us do good to all people, especially those, especially, if I can emphasize this, especially those who belong to the family of believers, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If a friend has a physical need, ask them how you might help them meet that need, and pray about how you might help on your own or with the help of others. If he needs food, clothing, shelter, give it to him as you can. Not enabling their bad choices, if that's what you think it is, but being supportive. If he or she is sick, drop off some food, run any errands that you can for them, offer to babysit the kids, or if they're pregnant, drop off a meal. That's fantastic. You know what? I've been involved in those, what did you call it, a meal train? And I just get pizza, drop it off. People like pizza. Yeah, just order a pizza and drop it off. Maybe throw a salad in to make it look sort of legit. Go buy some broccoli, throw it on top. If a friend has an emotional need, ask them how you might bear that burden with them. If she needs a friend in her loneliness, then be that friend. Stop in. Listen. Pray with her. Explore some other counseling options with her. I was sitting with a friend of mine who had invited Kaylee and I to join them on holidays this week. This is a friend I've had for 25, 30 years now. And he was telling me how he doesn't have any friends anymore. This is one of the most lovable human beings I've ever met. One of the most generous, for sure. Because, like me, they've moved away. One of them is estranged, and he's tried to process forgiveness. He's apologized. And just to sit and hear that story, right? That's what's needed sometimes, to bear that burden, to say, that's devastating. I'm sorry for you. Let's go get a pizza. If a friend is going through a troubling spiritual season, pray for them and offer to pray with them. Listen to them in their anger or confusion and empathize. Sensitively share the wisdom of the scriptures and your experience. Ask them permission to send resources to them that you think might help. Ask their permission. Be sensitive about this, because we all have answers to questions people aren't asking sometimes. And send those resources, and above all, just love them through this tough time of being spiritually lost. I have been deeply grateful for a small group of men in my life through this season, a cluster of three leaders who have challenged me and encouraged me in my faith. They helped me process my resignation, and they've called me out. That was painful. I didn't like that. I told them not to call me for a couple weeks. That's not true. And I've called them out on certain things. We have sought each other's counsel, and we have carried each other's burdens. We have prayed for each other, both professionally and personally. It's been extraordinarily rich, but it's actually critical for my growth in my relationship with Jesus. I need them, because it is easy to tell myself that I'm doing good, that everything's all right. And sometimes it is, but sometimes everything's not all right, and I'm fooling myself, right? Either way, it is critical to have a small group of people in my life who will challenge me in my foolishness, when I'm making choices that are tending towards hardening my heart, but also to be able to say, good job, man, well done, to encourage me along in my journey of faith. So in the end, the two-winged bird, large groups, big God thoughts, small groups, Jesus-like practices, both are critical to our growth in our faith. I read a meme this week that went something like this. A church isn't healthy for its impact on its membership or its members as much as its members' impact on others. It takes big groups and it takes small groups for us to grow and to make impact, to be healthy. Daniel, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing for time? Are we okay? What time is it? It's 12. I'm just going to close in prayer then, if that's okay. Dan gave me permission to close in prayer. So, with those things in mind, right? Big group, small group, let's close.